and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of October 15th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and deep in the heart of Texas, Melissa Hansen.
Hello. You've used that one before.
I have.
When I've been visiting, but it's true still because I've officially moved to Texas.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So what has your weekend entertainment been like, if you've had one with the move and all?
I have. I've been doing a whole bunch of Netflixing last weekend, actually. And I watched White Collar, which I've caught episodes of it before, but I never watched it faithfully.
Okay.
And so I kind of zoomed through the first three seasons are on Netflix. The fourth season just recently ended, so it's not streaming yet. But it's excellent. I love it. It's a great show. I mean, the cast is amazing.
Yeah.
So Matt, is it Bomer?
I've heard it both ways, Bomer or Bomer. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, somebody knows definitively, let us know, but he is excellent.
Yeah.
He plays like an art thief, who gets caught by Tim DeKay's character and, they end up kind of cutting a deal. That Matt's character Neil is going to help out the FBI and he's got like an anklet and he, you know, so he can't run. So it's kind of, it's a mystery show. There's like crime of the week that they have to solve.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of really great background with the characters and, Willie Garson's on it. He plays Neil's friend Mozzie,
nice.
Who's another thief, but like a good guy. You know, and these characters aren't like black and white either.
Sure.
They're thieves that you really like, but they do some things and you're like, oh man, not okay. But no, it's an amazing cast and, you know, kind of interesting stories each week. And, Tiffany Thiessen is on it too.
No kidding.
Yeah. She's just no Amber now. Just Tiffany. But she plays the FBI guy's Tim DeKay's, wife.
Ah.
On it. And I'm telling you, their relationship is one of the like most loving, caring, I think realistic marriages like shown on television.
Really?
It's one of my favorite things about the show is watching the two of them interact.
Wow.
And this, I don't know, I think we see so many couples on TV that just kind of hate each other, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, just to see two people with genuine love and caring about each other and have problems and difficulties, you know, and aren't perfect and have to work things out. But their relationship, to me, adds so much to the show.
Okay.
So, anyhow.
Well, USA has done an excellent job of creating these very character-driven shows.
Seriously.
Yeah.
They really have. I mean, I haven't seen one of their shows that I dislike.
Yeah.
Like I said, a lot of them I didn't because I didn't have cable and stuff. I just didn't get into watching regularly.
Right.
You know, but going back and either when I can, watching like a marathon of stuff or all their shows I really like. But this one is way up there.
We started out with Psych and Monk at the very beginning, and those two shows were
excellent
shows.
But this is right up there with them.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So
the magic continues.
Yeah. So it was really fun to watch. And the other thing I watched, talking about good television mysteries, the second season of Sherlock. The British.
Okay.
So I've talked about it before. It's two seasons now that are available streaming wise. They're each only three episodes, but hour and a half episodes.
Okay.
So it's kind of like movies, like six movies or, you know, a couple miniseries or however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
They're separate episodes, but yeah, it is excellent.
Well,
excellent.
Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss and those guys. Yeah.
It's a modern day version of Sherlock.
Yeah.
You know, they've taken the classic stories, the classic books.
Okay.
I mean, we have Hound of the Baskervilles, you know, this season. They take that, but they update it.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes sense in this day and time. So they change some of the facts, but it's in line with everything.
Right.
So, and the end of the last season, we got to meet Moriarty.
Ooh.
Okay. And he's got a big episode this season. Now, this is the one thing, the only thing, the only minor quibble I have with the show.
What's that?
I don't love how they portray Moriarty.
Oh, really?
I think they take it a step too far.
Okay.
They portray him whack out crazy. His levels are all over the place.
All right.
Like, he's all calm, and he's almost got this, I don't know, not effeminate voice, but very affected vocal patterns.
Okay.
And stuff, and then he'll be going, and then all of a sudden he'll, like, yell a word. And it's not bad. I mean, the actor, Andrew Scott, plays him. He's good, but I don't know who made the decisions.
Yeah.
How much is him? How much is the director? How much is the writing? I don't know who made the decisions to portray him this way. And it doesn't ruin it by any means, and it's not bad. But for such an excellent show, to have something that kind of rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my only thing. I love, you know, they have, like, I talked about Moriarty, and, you know, Mycroft is in it, and Irene's in it this season. And, you know, they really do beautiful bringing the characters to modern day and the connections between them. It really is just absolute top notch quality show.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, I have to get out. I haven't seen any of it yet. And I know that Steven is still finishing up Series 7 of Doctor Who, but we'll get back to Sherlock then after he wraps that up. So that'll be sometime late next year, I would assume, mid to late next year.
Yeah. So, but no, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah, no, now I've heard people, and I have not seen the new Johnny Lee Miller Elementary series for NBC.
I have.
And are there similarities between the two?
They're different. It's both an updated Sherlock, but they're different.
Okay.
They're both good in their own way.
Yeah.
Because
I heard that their apartments are laid out exactly the same.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No.
Somebody told me that.
I'm going to have to think more about it, pay more attention to Next Elementary. But no, I mean, that changes it a lot.
Okay.
This, the British Sherlock, the BBC Sherlock, it just changes what has to be changed to make it modern day.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Elementary really changes it. Well, obviously, Dr. Watson is played by Lucy Liu.
Right.
You know, and it changes everything. And it's set in New York.
Okay.
It's, you know,
it's not a British series. It's a very American series.
Yeah, it's definitely in American cities, even though Johnny Lee Miller's British.
Is he playing it British? Or is
British.
He playing it?
Okay. Sherlock is British
okay.
in it.
Got it.
He's just living in New York currently.
Got it.
And the whole thing is Dr. Watson is his companion and literally a medical companion. He's a drug addict who just went through rehab.
Yeah.
And she's living with him to stop him from doing drugs.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's really interesting. And that one, though, I really like, too. My favorite thing about that one is Aidan Quinn plays the police lieutenant or whatever he is that Sherlock works with.
Oh, okay. The Inspector Lestrade character.
Yeah, but it's a different character.
Right.
New York cop now.
Right, exactly.
So it's, like I said, they didn't just update what they had to. They changed it. And it's good premise. It's a good show.
All right.
You know, so, and it's nice to see Aidan Quinn because he was just playing almost the same character in Prime Suspect with Maria Bello last season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's transferring over here. But no, it's a good show. They're different things. Right. You know, if you love the British Sherlock, you're not going to love Elementary because it's a different thing.
All right. But there's a place in the world for both of them is what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I enjoy them both.
All right.
But they're different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's funny you mentioned Johnny Lee Miller because I finally saw Dark Shadows. And he plays Roger. And I think his character is so wasted because they established this, what could be a very interesting premise, and then he just gets kind of shoved aside as a little minute subplot. But it really focuses on Johnny Depp, who takes the whole Benjamin Barker thing from Sweeney Todd to more of an extreme level. But I couldn't get past the fact that he was pretty much Benjamin Barker playing a vampire.
Oh, that kind of stinks.
Yeah. And then, you know, Tim, everyone in the bonus feature talks about how happy Tim was making this movie and how laughing and, you know, Tim Burton is Mr. Dour, you know,
right,
gothic.
Right.
Well, he's laughing and happy. Well, this movie didn't work.
He needs to get miserable again somehow.
Right. Yeah.
Helena needs to leave him or something.
Oh, God.
So he can start making better movies.
I don't know. Well, anyways, we might as well transition because Burton's latest movie isn't doing too well at the box office.
No, it's very sad, and that's my fault, too, because I haven't gone to see it, even though I was excited about it and been too busy. So, no shocker here. Taken 2 was still in number one. almost 23 million.
All right.
Argo came in second with 20 million.
All right. Well, the word of mouth has been fantastic on this movie.
It has. I saw, who is it? Mother Jones did a review, and I just saw on Twitter. I didn't read the actual review, but it's basically, okay, he is done doing his penance for Pearl Harbor. He's made up for that. And Geely, like, he's made up for it with
that's
it.
Awesome. And Jersey so, Girl.
Yeah, I just thought that was, I didn't like Jersey Girl. But I thought that was, like, a fun way to say it's a really good movie.
Very cool.
So, anyhow, so that's second. Sinister, almost 19 million in third.
Right.
Hotel Transylvania, 17 million.
Great for the kids. Halloween.
And then, you know what? What is wrong with all yous? Here Comes the Boom. It's 12 million.
But you know, there are people who adore Kevin James. My sister watches King of Queens whenever it's on.
I like King of Queens. I like Kevin James.
Yeah.
I like him. I do. But come on, people. Because, yeah, that came before. Under that is Pitch Perfect, Frankenweenie, and Looper.
All right.
They all made, you know, half what Here Comes the Boom made.
Jeez.
All right.
Well, next week we've got some. I know you're going to be excited because Alex Cross opens.
Yes, and I'm shocked because it looks so good.
Yeah. Now this is Tyler Perry's reboot of the James Patterson crime drama, but Tyler, for the one of the first times, is not directing himself.
He's not dressed up as like a woman either.
This is true.
He's playing a black man.
Madea's Alex Cross. no, this is directed by the original Fast and Furious' Rob Cohen. So, and it does. You're right. The trailers for this look fantastic.
It looks good. When they started announcing stuff, I was really, really nervous.
Yeah.
But no, it looks excellent. And Matthew Fox, you can't even recognize him in the trailer, playing psycho bad guy.
He pulls a Christian Bale kind of
movie. Yeah. So I'm excited.
Cool. I know Gorehounds and Fright fans are going to love Paranormal Activity 4.
Already 4? Jeez.
Already 4. This one picks up 5 years after the last film, which means it's still a prequel to the first two films.
The last one
took place in the 1980s and talked about the girls in the house.
Sure, whatever.
Now, of course, a new family moves into the same house and strange things start happening again.
Does anybody who really watches this, do they care about the plot?
I don't think so. I think it's the jump scares.
Yeah, it's just to be scared. It's stuff to jump out at you and scare you and get your adrenaline going, which I get. I actually get that.
Yeah.
But whatever. It takes place when, where. No one cares.
Yeah.
Just scare the crap out of people. That's all they want.
Huge counter-programming to those two films, The Sessions. I saw the trailer for this. Helen Hunt returns to the big screen for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
Playing opposite John Hawkes, who was nominated for an Academy Award for his role in Winter's Bone. Opposite John Hawkes.
Okay.
But it's an awkward romantic comedy about a quadriplegic and a sex therapist. He wants to know what it's like to have sex.
Yeah.
So he starts going to his priest first, played by William H. Macy.
Nice.
To see if it's okay for him to do this, and then he goes and gets a sex therapist.
Okay. This could be absolutely horrible, or it could be really sweet and wonderful.
That's what it looks like from the trailers.
Okay.
So very sweet.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And then finally, Led Zeppelin Celebration Day, which is... it's a concert documentary about the band's reunion that they played on stage for Atlanta Records founder Ahmet Erdogan's anniversary, or you know, the anniversary of the founding of Atlantic Records.
Okay.
Which was supposed to be a phenomenal concert, so they captured it, and now it's being released to theaters ahead of its release on DVD and Blu-ray next month.
Nice. That would be fun to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
To hear. Yeah, surround sound stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very cool.
Classic band. I mean, highly influential. So, and those guys have not played together in a long time. They've all gone off and done, you know, different things. I mean, Robert Plant has had a great career. Jimmy Page is still one of the greatest guitar players ever. So, John Paul Jones.
Yeah, that would be cool to see.
Check that out. If you're not going to the box office and would like to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, you can head over to DVDverdict.com and click on the DVD releases tab. Top of the list, amazingly enough, is the Republican National Committee's propaganda film 2016, Obama's America, coming to Blu-ray this week, or DVD, I should say.
Okay, I have to tell you, I was a few weeks ago when it was in theaters.
Did you see it?
I was sitting in the hair salon getting my hair done, and I was like waiting, and a woman getting her hair done was telling the hairstylist all about this brilliant movie.
Oh no.
And all this stuff, and I just sat there and like shook my head.
Oh no. It is. It's propaganda. I mean, that's all it is. It's not an objective documentary in any way, shape, or form.
Which most aren't, but I think this is probably beyond what most do.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, we've got, what, less than a month now until the election and two more debates. So, yeah. In a completely fantasy world, we've got James Cameron's Avatar coming to 3D this week. Which, trust me, it's not going to look any better in 3D than it did in 2D. It's not going to change the story at all, people. It still sucks. If you want beautiful storytelling and amazing visuals, Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom comes to DVD and Blu-ray this week. And nobody makes films. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Nobody makes films like Wes Anderson. They are like storybooks come to life.
Oh, that's a good way to describe it. I like that.
Really special stuff. And if you have not been exposed to him, go check out Fantastic Mr. Fox or the Darjeeling Limited or but this is fantastic. Now, if your kids, want something to watch, Madagascar 3, I think it's called Europe's Most Wanted, comes to DVD this week, and it's about their, I think the last one took place in Africa, this one takes place in Europe, so, and they're part of a circus.
Okay.
Yep.
Again, does the plot in this really matter?
No.
It's like cute, obnoxious animals.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
That's all.
Penguins and lions and lemurs and all that great stuff.
Yeah. And like catchy songs. Like, what else do you need?
Right. There are two vintage films that I'm interested to check out because I have not heard of either one of them. Frank Sinatra's 1954 thriller Suddenly, where he plays a killer.
Nice.
Unusual for Frank. And then this 1965 film called The Slender Thread stars Anne Bancroft as a woman calling a suicide hotline after taking an overdose of prescription pills.
Ooh.
And on the other end of the phone is a college volunteer played by a young Sidney Poitier.
Oh, my God. How have I not seen this?
I don't know. Who tries to keep her on the phone until the paramedics arrive.
Holy crap, does that sound good.
Yeah. So that is available on DVD this week. And then just a handful of television stuff, as always. Josh Lucas's The Firm, based on the John Grisham novel. That lasted a season and got canceled.
Yeah.
That's out. J.J. Abrams' Alcatraz. That lasted a season and got canceled. Kiefer Sutherland's Touch, season one, which will be coming back to Fox, I think, in mid-season.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Men, season 5. Psych, season 6. And Gunsmoke, season 6.
God, I've been waiting for those to come out, so then they'll come to streaming.
Yep.
All right. Exactly.
If you prefer Netflix to DVD or Blu-ray, we talked about Paranormal Activity 4. Well, Paranormal Activity 3 is available this week on Netflix, so you can get caught up on that. Tracy Letts' thriller Bug is available on Netflix this week.
Ooh.
With Ashley Judd and Michael Shannon.
I'm going to have to check that out because I haven't seen it. I mean, I've read the play because he's my favorite playwright.
Yeah.
But yeah, that should be creepy good.
Yep. Julia Roberts and Lily Collins' take on Snow White, Mirror, Mirror, the comedy, is available this week. And Jean Desjardins and Bernice Bougeot's Oscar-winning silent romantic comedy, The Artist, is finally available on Netflix this week.
Oh, okay, good.
Weird stuff on Hulu. Writer-director William Shatner's 2002 sci-fi thriller Groom Lake, starring Amy Acker from Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Van Patten from Eight is Enough. I'm not making this up, people. This is true.
Oh, you couldn't make this up.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I may just start that just to see what it is.
Wow.
A weird film for Uma Thurman, playing opposite Anthony Edwards in Motherhood. I guess she's this harried mom of two young kids.
Yeah. Well, she kind of is... now in real life again.
Oh,
she
that's right.
They had another baby.
Oh. Well, she has kids with Ethan Hawke, right?
Got a couple, but she recently had another one. Yeah. So maybe that's why, she's drawn to stuff that's...
I don't think it did well at the box office at all. So I think it bombed.
Yeah.
If you like Stellan Skarsgård, from the Avengers, from Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, He's the malicious director of a reform school for boys in King of Devil's Island. Sounds very salacious. And then David Tennant stars in United, which documents the 1958 Manchester United team, which was the youngest soccer/football team ever to win the title. And then the plane crash that subsequently killed 8 members of the team.
Ugh, yeah.
So that's all available on Hulu this week. What do you got coming on TV?
Well, we still have a few more season premieres and series premieres this week. Tuesday on the CW, Emily Owens, MD,
what is that?
Show's premiering. Hmm. And it should probably do quite well because every other station is showing the next presidential debate on Tuesday.
Okay, there you go.
So we'll see how that does. But Wednesday, Suburgatory is coming back on ABC. And I know we just posted a review of the first season on DVD.
We did.
Patrick Brownlee.
Yep.
Right? And he gave it quite a nice review, and I agree. It's really an excellent show.
Nice ensemble show.
What?
Nice ensemble show.
It is. It's a really, really great cast. You know, some Saturday Night Live alums, and it's neat characters. I mean, it's kind of the typical, you know, suburban hell is the plot line. Right. Teenage girl and her single dad move from New York to suburbia. Yeah. And she's the main character. But it's all these characters you should maybe hate, but you don't. You kind of like. There's something in there you like. Anyhow, that's
correct,
back.
Wednesday. Correct me if I'm wrong, because the season ended on a cliffhanger, right? She met her grandmother.
Yeah, a little bit of one. Yeah, her mom's mom kind of showed up. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes if it gets a little bit more dramatic.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely a comedy.
Yeah.
But there, now and then, you know, a little bit of dramatic element in it.
True.
Speaking of drama, Friday on the CW, Nikita is back.
Maggie Wu.
Mm-hmm. Into that. Can check that out Friday. And then we still have a few more starting in the next couple weeks. And maybe, maybe not. We'll... we'll see when stuff happens.
Well, we might as well bring that up, right? Because NBC has delayed the start of Community, which was supposed to start next week.
Mm-hmm.
And Whitney as well, right?
Yeah, there was something.
Yeah, I think Whitney was the other one that they put on hold. But no explanation.
Or know when they're coming or anything.
Right. It's just an indefinite hold.
Everything they dicked us around with Community.
Unbelievable.
To keep doing it, like... Oh,
you know, it's not enough that you fire the showrunner and bring in new people to retool the show, which, in my opinion, and I know you two didn't need retooling in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've set up, all right, we're bringing you back, and it's only going to be a shortened season anyways, right?
Right. And that's the thing. Well, us, the audience, like, thinking it's not coming back, and it is coming back, and it's short, and it's fine, and it's going to be it, but whatever. Again, just jerking us around for, like, a year. On what's going on with the show, and then to, like, do it again.
I have no confidence in NBC current programming executives because they continue to make really poor choices.
Yes. Yes.
Anyways, what else you got going on?
Hey, in music, speaking of really poor choices.
Yes?
Jason Aldean's new album is out this week. It's called Night Train, and he was just in the news. He's a, you know, younger country star. He's married with kids, whatever. And they caught him. Someone got a picture of him kissing some chick from American Idol in a bar.
Oh, my God.
So anyhow, he sent an apology for that. But now his CD's coming out, so we'll see how it does. There's any backlash on that.
See, now there's people in the back of my mind, it immediately goes, all right, this was some PR person said this is a publicity stunt to get some.
Yeah, my mind went there, too. I don't know. I don't know if it's good timing or bad timing, and we'll see what happens with his release. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of country and American Idol, Scotty McCreery has a new album. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Christmas with Scotty McCreery. Because it's October 15th.
Where was I the other day? We were out picking pumpkins, and one of the pumpkin patches already had their Christmas decorations up inside the store. I'm like, come on.
Well, starting this week, because Stephen Curtis Chapman's new album, Joy, is coming out too. And then next week, there are a ton of Christmas albums. I'll share some of them then.
All right.
But Miss Brandy.
Oh.
Brandy Norwood has a new album.
After hiding after she killed somebody in a car crash.
Yep, it's called 211, and she collaborates with some people, including, ready, Chris Brown.
Oh my God, will that boy ever go away?
Black woman to hang out more with Chris Brown. I don't get it.
I don't either. Rihanna's an idiot.
I don't know why these young women are working with him.
Yeah.
I mean, just Rihanna's a whole other head case story. Yeah. But just in general, I do not get this. And it really, really disappoints me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on.
Let's wrap that segment up. Books this week. Patricia Cornwell, who's one of the top authors in the country. The Bone Bed, which is number 20 in her Kay Scarpetta series.
Jeez.
So that is out for fans of her. And then John Taylor in The Pleasure Groove, Love, Death, and Duran Duran.
Oh, my God.
A memoir from John Taylor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, he was considered the good-looking one, right?
Well, it depends. He is the one I originally had a crush on. My friend Joanne is, like, even bigger into Duran Duran than me.
Okay.
Now and in junior high.
Yeah.
And she liked John, so I kind of took a step back and switched my allegiance over to Simon. But John's tall, dark, good-looking guitar. Oh, hot. Okay, anyhow. So, very interesting life, you know, with the band and just his personal life. So, anyhow, that should be quite interesting. If you are a fan of Duran Duran, you would want to pick up that book.
Yeah.
And if you are a fan of CBS television, Chuck Lorre. You know how at the end of every single episode of his shows, there's the vanity card?
Yes.
Where it's like whatever he's thinking or feeling, and it's up there a second, so you have to tape it and stop it. No longer.
Ooh.
Those of us who got sick of doing that. What doesn't kill us makes us bitter. It's a collection of all of his musings from the vanity cards at the end of his shows. Nice. It's out in book form now.
Chuck has been around for a very long time and been involved in some really incredible shows.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, if you missed all the stuff he said about Charlie Sheen, season, you can read it on paper now.
Nice.
Miss Lauren Conrad, if you're missing The Hills,
we'll
talk about good television. Now we'll talk about bad television. She has a new book called Lauren Conrad Beauty. And of course, there's two co-authors on this, but it's all her beauty tips and whatnot. And then, ready for this?
Yeah.
Because the world is just wrong. She has two books out this week.
What?
She has the second book in her novel series.
What?
It's called Starstruck.
Oh my God.
And she had a couple years ago released a novel about, you know, young Hollywood, whatever.
Oh boy.
So yeah, so if you're a Hills fan, man, you can just Lauren yourself all week. So, I'm saying this a lot. Speaking of,
yes,
and we mentioned Tracy Letts.
Yes,
and his the movie Bug, based on his play.
Yes.
Well, Tracy Letts and Amy Morton are on Broadway.
Ooh.
They just premiered at Broadway's Booth Theater. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? By Edward Albee. It's the 50th anniversary of the play's original Broadway premiere.
I am 4 hours by train from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You should go get tickets to see this.
It is the cast, the entire cast, all four of them, reprising the roles when they did it at Steppenwolf a few years ago.
Oh, my God.
Chicago. I saw this.
Did you really?
In Chicago. It is the best thing I have seen on stage.
Ooh.
Tracy Letts and Amy Morton have worked together often.
Oh, yeah.
And them together, it's perfect, perfect chemistry.
These two characters? Yeah.
And playing these characters?
Ugh.
Now, like I said, Tracy Letts is one of my favorite playwrights, one of my favorite writers.
Yeah.
Period. I adore his work. I've seen him act numerous times. I don't think he's a very good actor, but he's engaging to watch on stage.
Yes, he's very magnanimous.
And him and Amy together, it is phenomenal. I cannot recommend this enough. If you can get your ass, any of you, to New York and see this, do it.
And Amy is not a beautiful woman, but on stage, she is electric. I mean, I am not kidding. Anybody she plays off of, she's like Michael Jordan. She raises the game of all these people that she's around, that are around her.
Yeah. So, I mean, I mentioned stuff. I'm like, oh, you should go check this out. This should be good. This is one of the best things on stage.
I'm trying to think. We saw a show with the two of them. It was like a Sunday morning in New York or something like this.
Yeah, I've seen them a few times together. They're both members at Steppenwolf.
Right.
And I mean, they're good separate. They're at least with Tracy, you know, interesting to watch separately. Yeah. Them together is perfection.
Yeah.
Absolute perfection. So nice. I usually don't talk so much about theater, but if there is any way you guys can see this, go.
Yeah.
Go.
I'm going to look into that.
Again, it's at Booth Theater and it just opened.
All right.
So to me, that's like the most exciting news of the week.
All right.
Well,
to go from that to some sadness, Mongo is dead.
Yes, so sad.
So Iowa Hawkeye and NFL legend turned actor Alex Karras, famous for his role in Blazing Saddles, famous for his role in Victor Victoria.
Well, come on, say the most famous.
Famous for his role as Webster's dad. On the
ABC with
series.
His real-life wife.
Yep, he passed away at 77. He and Susan were married for 32 years.
Wow.
And leave behind their daughter, Katie, and he has 5 children from his first marriage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There are a couple things I didn't know about him. I didn't know he was suspended for a season.
I didn't either.
Yeah, for, like, doing not ethical stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
With the game. I didn't know that kind of stuff. But he's been quite sick for the past few years, numerous things, but including dementia.
Oh, so terrible.
Dementia, which he is part of the group of former players that are really getting the NFL crap for not protecting them enough from head injuries. And that's what his dementia was from.
Okay.
So, but yeah, sad on whether a sports fan or a movie fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great personality.
Yeah.
Speaking of great personalities, Louis C.K.'s FX comedy Louis is going on hiatus and won't return until 2014.
Ooh, that's a big hiatus.
Now, this wasn't a network decision. This was his personal decision because he hired, who was it, Woody Allen's editor to handle season 3. And he was not happy with the results.
Not good.
So he has 2 young daughters, and he's divorced, which makes it even more complicated. So he wants to take enough time to shoot the show and have full creative control. He wants to write it, he wants to shoot it, he wants to edit it, and still be able to spend time with his kids.
So, right. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the important stuff. Putting up quality work and family. So
yeah. And the network is behind him on this. So. But it's done really well, universally loved by critics and audiences alike. So,
yeah,
he's got a very offbeat sense of humor.
Yeah, he's a funny guy and smart guy. So,
speaking of not smart people, the people behind Stan Lee Media are suing Disney for billions of dollars over profits derived from the Marvel Comics films. Now, Stan has nothing to do with this company. This company was created in 1999, I think with Stan's approval.
Right. He's not making the decisions on it.
No. But this company's been around now for, going on 12, 13 years, and all they do is sue people. Now, keep in mind, this is well-documented. Comic book artists, prior to the 1990s, did all work for hire, which means any of the stuff they created, they wrote,
they got their paycheck for working that week, and that's it.
The characters were continually owned by the publications, not the individuals. So this is a company that's going around trying to claim that Stan owns the rights to all of these characters, and what they're trying to do is get some money for them to, like, hush money to say, just go away. Here's, you know,
$10,000. Right. Yeah, that's the point. You sue everybody you can, and somebody's going to give you money to shut up.
And it proves how wrong the system is, you know, and how broken the system is that this stuff can still go on. And it just, I don't know. They're opportunists, and it's unfortunate that his name is still attached to this because he has nothing to do with him, so. Speaking of Marvel Comics, Thor: The Dark World, the next movie in the Marvel Comics franchise, gets a plot synopsis now. So following the events of the Avengers, Malekith the Accursed, who is the leader of the Dark Elves of Asgard, sees an opportunity to exploit the weaknesses of Earth and the other 8 realms through forces of dark magic. And this Malekith is being played by Doctor Who's Christopher Eccleston.
Ooh. Oh, you just caught my attention. I was totally zoning out. And then you said that, and I went, oh, my, wait, what? What is this? I want to see this.
But Natalie Portman, Kat Dennings, and Stellan Skarsgård will all return at their roles.
Okay.
And then finally, you will love this. So ABC has just announced that Joss Whedon, and I think it's his brother and sister-in-law, are fronting a S.H.I.E.L.D. series for ABC.
Nice.
They're developing this. And it's going to star Clark Gregg as Agent Phil Coulson.
Good.
So, you know.
Yay.
Yeah. I know a lot of people were upset that he was.
Spoilers.
Something happened in the Avengers.
But, he wasn't in the Avengers as much as we want.
Right.
And that was that and Jeremy Renner not enough. Those were my two complaints about the movie.
Clark, who did extremely well opposite Julia Louis-Dreyfus on New Adventures of Old Christmas.
I'm sorry, anyone can hold their own against her.
Yeah.
Like, top notch. Yeah. But yeah, to transfer that comedic stuff to, you know, action and drama.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Get his own series. And depending on how much longer How I Met Your Mother goes, Kobe Smothers may be able to jump from one series to the next. So.
Okay. Do you know something we don't know?
No, I'm just guessing.
All right.
I'm just guessing. So.
All right.
That's my personal opinion. That show has well worn its path. It's
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't make a point. Well, I have a problem with CBS in general because they're not on Hulu. And that's how I watch most of my television.
Okay.
And I can't watch CBS. And you know what? I'm just the point. Like, I watch The Good Wife.
Yeah.
You know, on my computer.
Yeah.
And that's about it, because nothing's really worth,
that's right,
you know, the time watching it that way for me.
Yeah, I don't watch much television at all anymore. So, all right. That's all I've got. I'm sure you've got some kind of Kardashian nonsense to end the show, right?
Yes. So, you know, really brief, quick Kardashian news. It's come out, and who knows, whatever. Some source, some friend, who obviously is not a friend if they're talking in the media. It looks like Courtney Scott went and met secretly with a celebrity wedding planner. Sharon Sachs is her name. She actually did Kim's wedding, which you think you just would stay away from her. But
God.
Anyhow, she... bad luck, jinx and stuff. But anyhow, supposedly they went like a month ago and met. So, wedding bells may be ringing.
And a new series is in the offing.
That's yeah, we'll see. Courtney's kind of the one that keeps things quieter, but who knows? So anyhow.
Whatever. I know they're filming some Kim and somebody in Miami or something as the new series that they're doing.
Yeah, it's Courtney.
Yeah, okay.
She does, yeah, that kind of stuff. So that's it. And the other big news, poor Kim. Reggie Bush knocks some chick up. So.
Why poor Kim?
Well, because that's her ex.
Oh, they, okay.
It was, I mean, she's moved on, obviously, yeah. But you just don't understand women. You still.
I don't.
You don't want him, but you don't want him to be happy with anybody.
Oh, okay. All right. And on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you can check out our reviews at DVDverdict.com. But until next week, Mosan, take it away.
And now it's hello, hi, goodbye. My heart has no room for love, so I'm saying hello, hi, goodbye.